There's a story that a very successful human resource manager was tragically hit by a bus and he died. He arrived in heaven where he was met at the pearly gates by St. Peter himself. "Welcome to heaven," said Peter. "Before you get settled in, it seems we have a problem. You see, strangely enough, we have never once had a human resources manager make it. Make it this far, and we are not really sure what to do with you." "No problem. Just let me in," said the man. "Well, I would like to, but I have higher orders. What we're going to do is to let you have a day in hell and a day in heaven. Then you can choose whichever one you want to spend in eternity." "Actually, I think I've made up my mind already. I prefer to stay in heaven," said the man. "Sorry, we have rules." And with that, Peter put the executive in an elevator, and it went down and down to hell. The doors opened, and he found himself stepping out into the parting green of a beautiful golf course. In the distance was a country club, and standing in front of him were all his friends, fellow executives that he had worked with, and they were all dressed in evening attire, and cheering for him. They ran up, kissed him on his cheeks, they talked, embraced him, they talked about old times. They played a round of golf, and at night, went to the country club where they enjoyed an excellent steak and lobster dinner. He met the devil, who was actually very nice to him. And he had a great time telling jokes and dancing. He was having such a good time that before he knew it, it was time for him to leave. The elevator went up and up and up and opened back up the pearly gates. And he found Peter waiting for him. "Now it is time to spend a day in heaven," he said to him. So he spent the next 24 hours roaming around the clouds and playing the harp and singing. He had great time, and before he knew it, it was 24 hours. And Peter came and got him. "So you have spent a day in hell, and you have spent a day in heaven. Now you must choose for eternity." The man paused for a second and then replied, "Well, I never thought I would have to say this. I mean, heaven has been really very great and all that, but I think I had a better time in hell." So Peter escorted him to the elevator, and once again, he went down and down and back to hell. When the doors of the elevator opened, he found himself standing in a desolate wasteland covered in garbage and filth. He saw his friends dressed in rags, standing in filth, and were picking up the garbage and putting it in sacks. The devil came up to him and put his arm around him, which seemed so hot and ready to scale off his skin. "I don't understand," he stammered. "Yesterday I was here and there was a golf course and a country club and we ate steak and lobster and we danced and had a great time. Now, all that there is a wasteland of filth and garbage. And all my friends look miserable." The devil looked at him, smiled at him and said, "Yesterday we were recruiting you. Today you are an employee." Devil always comes enticing, making us seem to believe that what is offering is the best. Maybe for only a fleeting and momentary time, but a lifetime of its consequences being very dire. On this first Sunday of Lent, we begin preaching our Lenten preaching series on cross training. And it is the story of the temptation that provides the very foundation, the very beginning of our preaching series. A series that relies on the cycle A meanings of the liturgy to provide a roadmap for us to make the most out of our Lenten transformative spiritual journey. A journey from cross to the crown and from pain to gain. We all will have to face, there's none of us who is immune from temptations. And these come, or these represent our crosses. None of us is immune. We daily wake up to them. Today, in the account of the temptations, we see Jesus, the innocent one, whose innocence does not protect him from conflicts, from trial, from suffering, from facing the adversary. Before they fell to the test from the serpent in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were also innocent. Innocence does not dispel conflict, rather it may attract it. So prior to the beginning of his ministry, Jesus is seen facing trial in the wilderness, the traditional arena of Satan. And before going on his public mission, he really, as an innocent one, had to, his resolve to go on that mission had to be put to the test. We remember when Jesus Christ was baptized, his father declared him to be his beloved son. But now in that waste land, the Son of God meets the adversary of God. The Son must decide whether to follow the way of the Father or the way of Satan. His new beginning is also a time of change. It's marked by a time of temptation. And these temptations remain the archetypes of all the temptations we face and the crosses we are invited to carry each day. How was he tempted? He was tested to see himself as a self-serving, a power-seeking, disobedient, and miracle-working God, contrary to his very mission, as one who came to obey his Father's will, one who was to serve and offer his life as ransom for many. Jesus emerges from the wilderness of temptation stronger. But he does not also leave the temptations behind forever. This same adversary will pursue him all through his life, just like we will be pursued by this Satan, this tempter, all through our life. An example of this we find in Mark 9:33. The adversary will again appear in the ministry when Jesus tells Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, because the way you think is not the way, God's way, but that of man." And so here Jesus is required to think God's way, and he will therefore be speaking for and on behalf of God, rather than for Satan. So when he begins preaching, it will be the very reason he will tell people that the time has come to let God rule our lives. If this is to happen, if we are to allow God to rule our lives, then it calls for repentance and to believe in the good news. What is God doing, or what God was doing, is what we call the good news. And that good news is that he has sent his son He has sent Jesus to be that good news, to save us from those temptations. And so, as I said, it's a period that we also, Lent is a period that we also have to face this adversary. But how many of us would believe that the Lenten discipline is a form of good news for us? Particularly that if we have to face the adversary within and without, around us, it comes from within us and also around us. So at the beginning of Lent, the church always takes us into the wilderness to face our temptations, our adversaries. That come in the form of the crosses, the form of temptations we face daily. We are often tempted to seek sinful pleasures. We are often tempted to seek easy wealth. We are often tempted to seek position of authority and power and glory. We are often tempted to use whatever means, even unjust or sinful, to achieve our needs. And these temptations represent the various crosses, as I said, that Jesus invites us to pick up every day and follow him. There is a Jewish saying that the Holy One, his name be blessed, does not elevate any person into dignity until he has tried and tested that person. And if he stands in temptation, he will then elevate him to dignity. What we call temptation is therefore not to be seen really as something to punish us. What we call temptation should not be seen as something to make us sin, but is to see it as something that should enable us actually to be conquering sin. It is not meant to make us bad, but to make us good. As is often said, gold is tested in fire. And we remember that those that God loves, he did not shield or protect them from their tests, from their temptations. Abraham is an example. His loyalty had to be proven by his willingness to offer his one and only son as a sacrifice to God. Of course, in the end, he didn't have to do it, but he had gone through the test and was acquitted very successful and loyal. Another person that comes to mind is Job. Job is known to have been a very good friend of God, and because of that, Satan had to ask permission to tempt him or to test him. And of course, we know the story of Job. So the good news is that in the time that we are tested, the time that we have to face the evil one, we don't have to do it alone, but we do it with Jesus and also in the company of his followers, like the rest of our Christian community offering us support. So we can say that Jesus actually models or serves as a model for us when we face temptations. He himself prepared for that. And what he did, he strengthened himself through penance, through fasting, through prayer. We heard that the temptation came after he had been in the desert, in the wilderness, and had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And so, we too will also face our temptations. But what Jesus did to strengthen himself is a model for us. And in our time of testing, what we all need to do is to hear, like Jesus, the voice of the Father that recognizes us as his beloved children. When we hear that voice, the call to repent, it's a call to stay in the company of the one who loves us, God himself, Jesus who loves us. The gospel challenges us to change our minds about the way we think. to change our hearts about the gospel, we ignore, and to change our ways about the habits of sin. This is a lifetime task. Jesus did not overcome Satan just in the wilderness. He achieved it only in his death. Lent reminds us of our need to begin again facing the enemy within us. And the good news is that when we do that, we take the road that leads us to the kingdom of God. So as we embark on this spiritual journey, a journey that we seek to experience transformation, we call on the strength that comes from on high. We rely on the scriptures, the word of God, the scriptures with which Jesus used to overcome the tempter. And also through the corporal works of mercy, we discipline ourselves and restrain ourselves and position ourselves in such a way that we choose to follow the way of the Lord rather than the way of the tempter. Amen.